There isn't a river in Oakham. There are lots of small streams and brooks like this one dotted around. But there's only so much fun you can have in those. Who would have thought that by the time we were adults, we'd have the largest man-made lake in Europe, just a few miles from here. There used to be a lido that my mum went swimming in, between the wars, just off to the left behind this green space. There are houses there now, and it's been a long time since anyone donned their swimming costume for a dip in that. So it was the canal that was the main source of entertainment for me and my brother, and all the other kids when we were growing up. We'd swim in it, skate on it when the ice came, and of course we'd fish it. We used to go night fishing on Saturday and get Mum to give us a couple of eggs, a bit of bacon and a frying pan. The old Lido changing rooms were still standing then, and that's where we'd sleep and make a fire and cook our food. We were only 10 or 11 when we did that. Sometimes we'd catch a pike, and when you caught a pike you killed it, because pike eat everything else in the canal. And there was a bloke called Henry who worked on the dust carts and would give you half a crown if you took a pike up to him. He loved his pike. It's very earthy, apparently, though I've never eaten it. He used to rest it in salt water for 2 days before cooking it and would declare that it's as good a fish to eat as anything.
That's Bill. I've spoken to quite a few people about their memories, and you'll hear from him again later on about his fishing. And if there is a fish in that water below you, then it might be heading for the canal, which is just round the corner from here. Come on. You're going to keep walking down this road, past Tabara Close on the left, and then turn into Griffiths Close on the right. You'll go past some more houses, and maybe people will be out tending to their front gardens. And you will see a path in front of you, between number 12 on your left and number 10 on your right. Go down that path. You'll come out onto another road, and immediately to your left, you'll see a fence and a small path that leads onto the water. Once you can see the reeds and the water, stop and wait for me to finish. The meeting that Henry was going to on the 1st of April 1792 was one of many during a turbulent time. The Revolutionary Wars in France had been scaring the great and the good on this side of the Channel, and there were plenty of them in Rutland. The landed gentry were busy recruiting volunteers and sending them on bayonet drills as plans for a Rutland cavalry and the building of a riding school to train them were underway. That's the Rutland County Museum now. It was a time of progress, yet also one of fear and suspicion, when the popular imagination was warned of secret Jacobin cells hiding away in houses such as these, ready to radicalise the butchers and bakers and candlestick makers who were reeling under the rising cost of living that the war had produced across the land. Not that Rutland decided to get much involved in such things, with life mainly carrying on as before. And so, several months after that first meeting, on Wednesday the 7th of November, Henry straightened his collar again and headed off to the Crown Hotel, where a subscription was to be raised to pay for the cost of parliamentary business and of constructing a canal from Melton to Oakham. £56,000 was to be raised through the selling of 560 shares of £100 each, with nobody being allowed to purchase more than five. Now things moved at speed, with men in place to take things forward.
Christopher Staveley Jr., engineer, tasked with preparing a plan and section of the canal, based on Mr. Whitworth's original ideas and exemplary work.
Robert Hawley Sr., treasurer, charged with ensuring prompt payment of all subscriptions and ensuring adequate capital is available for the construction of the works at all times.
John Heathcote, Member of Parliament for Rutland, committed to doing all that I can to ensure that we receive the full assent of His Majesty's Parliament.
By early January, the bill was drafted. On the 24th of April, it had its third reading, and by the 7th of May, 1793, royal assent was received for the Oakham Canal Act.
We have been successful, Father. I am now a shareholder in the company of proprietors of the Oakham Canal, subject to the rules, regulations and orders of the said company, entitled to the profits and advantages of such a share. And you were right, for amongst the noblemen, landowners and the men in holy orders, those who have committed to this endeavour come from every stripe of life. Innkeepers, farmers, wool staplers, solicitors, graziers, architects, drapers, bankers, mercers, doctors, couriers, surgeons, grocers and bakers.
Henry is holding one share, with the motto Industria on the seal. And his £100, like everyone else's, is to be called up at regular intervals, £5 at a time. For the building of a canal requires a regular flow of capital, as much as it needs a regular flow of water. The affairs of the canal company are to be controlled by a committee of not more than 13 and not less than 9. There will be 2 general meetings a year, on the first Thursdays in October and April, all of which Henry will attend. You should be beside the canal now. If not, then I'll meet you there, where we'll go to the next track.